KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Seminary Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. I'm Gork, and I welcome you to Guestapalooza Week. That's right, this week we are jam-packed with guests calling in. They're coming in studio. It's going to be insane this week, so stay tuned all week long as we have everybody from Mr. Monday Night himself. He's the host of the Monday Project on every Monday, 7 to 10. Mr. Mike himself, Mike on the mic. He's going to be calling in at 8:20 this morning to give us his Emerald City Comic Con tips and tricks. We have Northwest Music Scene Album of the Year recipients, Marsalis. We have Dennis and Adam joining us also at 8:20. So that's 7:20, 8:20. And then tomorrow, we've got Wade, who is the head of the Weird Elephant film series. He's going to be talking to us about, first of all, Shaun of the Dead, the film that they're showing this Saturday, March 4th, and I'm going to be there. It's going to be super exciting. And just what cult classic movies are in general. And to round it off the week, we've got none other than award-winning journalist Mr. Charlie Harger himself. He's going to be joining us Friday morning to talk about fake news. So you don't want to miss that one. I figured, you know what? I only know, like, one actual journalist, so let's talk to him about that stuff. As for the rest of this morning, however, like I said, we got Mike calling in at 7:20. We got Marsalis at 8:20. We got your Word of the Week happening right at the top of 7 o'clock. We got your Geeky News at 6:20. And all morning long, we've got your last pair of Shaun of the Dead movie tickets. So stay tuned in for that. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. We'll start you off with Stuck in Your Head by I Prevail.
Geeky News.
Geeky News.
Geeky News.
Geeky News.
Geeky News. 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It's time for some geeky news. Good morning, Danica.
Hi.
Nice, it works this morning. We're off to a good start. I'm excited.
Hi.
Hi. Are you ready for Guestapalooza Week?
Hi.
Me too. Me too. Something that's got me speechless is, not only were the Mel Gibson rumors true, but, he's talking out about his meeting for Suicide Squad 2. I still can't believe this is a thing. But now that we know Mel Gibson is in the talks to direct Suicide Squad 2, the actor slash director is speaking publicly about exactly what went down in his meeting with Warner Brothers. CinemaBlend reports that while it's just all talk right now, Gibson's words might be the reason for fans to be excited. He said, quote, "I don't know. I just met some guys about some story points. It's not a done deal or anything, but it's just fun to shoot the bull, you know? Come on, Mel Gibson, thanks. When it comes to a story, I love doing it, and when we can elevate any kind of concept, it's good. Sounds like things are in a very preliminary stage, but Mel Gibson sounds like he's down if something does arise out of these talks. After watching what he did with Hacksaw Ridge, be interesting to see what he does with the Suicide Squad movie."
Yeah.
But, you know, he is still kind of crazy.
I'm down to clown Mel Gibson. We'll see what you do.
What? No! No, I don't even know what that means, but no thank you. Like, I'm not going to knock the guy. He's not a bad actor. He's just not all there in the head. And maybe that's what this movie needs. My only worry is, because you have a director change, stylistically, I'm afraid it's not going to be the same as the first one.
I mean, that's true, but, like, I've seen, like, a lot of Mel Gibson's, like, movies that he's directed, and they're not bad movies.
Fair. So we'll see. Next geeky news story we have, Rob Liefeld wants Russell Crowe for Cable in Deadpool 2.
What?
Ever since the Deadpool after credits scene confirmed that the second film would feature a frequent Deadpool buddy Cable, the rumors have been swirling on who would play the gruff, painfully 90s superhero. A lot of big names have been attached to the speculation: Pierce Brosnan, Kyle Chandler from Bloodline, Steve Lang from Avatar, but recent tweets have added yet another name to that list: Russell Crowe. This isn't remotely a confirmation of the casting, but the actor at least seems interested in that role. It also seems for the first time an actor who might have a shot at playing the part has expressed an outward interest in the role beyond just letting speculation fly. It started last week when Rob Liefeld, the comic book artist responsible for the creation of Deadpool and Cable characters, tweeted at Crowe suggesting that he should read for the role. Surprisingly, Crow responded with, "I should read it," and that was it. The word reaction has to do with Crow's experience and caliber in the acting industry. Reading for a role requires auditioning, which Crow probably hasn't done in over a decade. Liefeld doesn't have a say in any creative decisions on the film, but he certainly wants it to happen. And Crow said if Ryan Reynolds wanted it, he'd find a way. So, that's an interesting pick. So Cable, I'll show you some pictures of him. He's this dude who's got like a, he's got that flat top, gray hair, super bulky, one of his arms is made out of metal, and like he has a laser eye.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if Russell Crowe fits that bill. Cause the last movie I saw him in was The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling. And I loved him
that
in that movie.
So funny.
He was hilarious, right?
So funny.
But I'm not sure he's in the shape to play Cable, because again, Cable's this dude who's like 6 foot and jacked.
He's buff.
It's not to say Russell Crowe can do it and like bulk up for the film, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Russell Crowe.
I still think like Ron Perlman would be the best bet, especially now that they announced that Hellboy 3 is not going to be a thing ever, which made me cry.
That is sad.
A last geeky news story we have for you this morning. J.J. Abrams thinks Mark Hamill should win an Oscar for his work on The Last Jedi. Director J.J. Abrams thinks very highly of Mark Hamill's performance as Luke Skywalker in Rian Johnson's Star Wars The Last Jedi. He thinks his performance is so good that he should win an Oscar. While talking to New York Daily News at Oscar Wilde Awards in L.A., the filmmaker said, quote, "I think we're all going to be very upset if he does not win an Oscar, and no one more upset than Mark. We have yet to see Mark Hamill fully back in the role of Skywalker, but this statement definitely has us excited to see what Hamill's performance will be." Like, could you imagine if he did finally win an Oscar for Star Wars 2?
I would cry.
Right? Having not seen the film, we have no idea if that really is a possibility, but, you know, you gotta trust Abrams' opinion on these kinds of things. He seems to have an eye for it, and of course, there's always a chance that he might be joking around, but this doesn't seem like a joke. Abrams' comments have been so indicative that Star Wars The Last Jedi is Luke's movie, much in the same way that Star Wars The Force Awakens was Han Solo's movie.
His sister died, let him have a trophy.
Right? This is an interesting way to think about these movies, because the original trilogy, they were sort of Luke's movies, but
yeah. They
did sort of split off and have like a Han and Leia adventure off to the side. The prequel trilogy was obviously all about Anakin and his story, so the fact that they're taking these last three and they're splitting them up, like Han, Luke, and supposedly the third one was supposed to be Leia, but that's not gonna happen.
Sad.
Oh no, we could see it. We might be able to. Did you see the Rogue One?
I saw it twice. And
so, maybe if they did Leia that way, like they had at the end there? Because that wasn't actually Carrie Fisher.
No, but it looked pretty damn close.
Maybe. Like, that's a possibility.
They haven't used CGI masks, you know?
It'd be a bummer, but if that's what you can get, I'll put her face
on your face, girl.
You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. If you want a double dose, I don't know what I was going to say there. If you want a double dose of geeky, stay tuned, because at 7:20 we have Mr. Monday Night himself joining us to talk about Emerald City Comic Con. But up next, we got your regular news right after Green Star by Pears.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Weird Elephant Film Series in the Grand Cinema in Tacoma. If you want to win tickets to see Shaun of the Dead for free, it's going to be Saturday, March 4th. Call in 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004. Oh, there's a sound effect.
Woo!
There's a sound effect. And that's going to be super exciting, because they're going to have a costume contest, and if you haven't heard about this already, it's going to be awesome. The prizing for first place is a professional zombie makeup job, if you're into, like, Walking Dead or whatever. It's going to be great for Halloween. Second place is going to be, you get the entire movie theater to yourself. It's a $200 value to play video games on the big screen. Like,
so the Grand Cinema, right?
Yeah.
place is really cool.
You get that entire movie theater to yourself, like you and your friends.
It's
just
huge.
Hang out.
It's a big place.
And then third place is the Shaun of the Dead soundtrack on vinyl. And who doesn't want that, right? Like, it's just a damn good movie and it's damn good soundtrack. So make sure you show up and dress up for the costume contest. But let's go ahead and get into some news. And Danica, do you know how to twerk? Because I tried it once and I'm pretty sure I threw out my back.
Taylor tried to teach Andrea, Quinn, and I, and...
How'd that go? Does Taylor at least know how to, or what? Like, was she an okay teacher?
No, Taylor can do it.
Well, in New York, they're... The police are responding to a video of a woman twerking on a police car. The Rochester police chief is not responding favorably to a video posted on social media that depicts several people dancing on a patrol car. The video, which was posted on Twitter Saturday morning by the user @followztheleader, shows several young women dancing on a Rochester patrol vehicle as an officer stands by with his arms crossed. The man who took that video on his cell phone said the people are getting the wrong idea about the situation. Quote, the RPD officers are being respectful to the females who made a request, said Chris Barber. Barber told 13 Whams, Jane Flash, that, quote, the woman asked the cops if they could dance on by their car. And he says he was lighthearted, question surrounded by a lot of laughter. The woman had just been denied entrance into Pearl Nightclub on East Avenue near closing time on Friday night.
Oh, that sucks.
One of them was wearing sweatpants, which is in violation of the dress code. I mean, just... Don't show up to a club wearing sweatpants.
Well, why not?
To a club in New York?
Let me twerk in my sweats, man.
But yeah, these ladies are... They went from asking if they could dance beside the car to this chick straight up on the hood. And then there's another chick, like, bent over in front of the lights. And, like, they got moves or whatever. But that's not exactly professional in terms of, like, the police officer. At least he's being a good sport about it. That's the only thing I can come out of it.
Yeah.
Next news story we have for you, and this goes out to all of you who think adulting is hard. The Oregon Library is offering Adulting 101 classes for millennials.
I want to kill myself.
I kind of want to go to it, though. Because in North Bend, Oregon, an Oregon library has launched a new program to help young adults fend for themselves once they leave home.
Lesson one, let's file our taxes.
Quote, adulting, as the kids call it, is hard, but the North Bend Public Library is making it a little easier. Quote, on the first class of Adulting 101, we covered basic cooking skills that you can do in your dorm, explained Assistant Director of Library Services Teresa Lucas. We also talked about ways to stretch your dollar in the grocery store and how you can get the most bang for your buck. The class was taught by a library aide, but how did she become an expert in adulting? Quote, she said, I also lived in a dorm for my first year of college, and I lived in various apartments, some of which didn't have kitchens and didn't allow you to have kitchen supplies, explained by the library aide, Adulting 101 instructor Clara Piazzoli, sure. And so I left home not really knowing how to cook or... And I ended up getting very attentive and teaching myself a lot of these tips. One parent who brought his kids to the class appreciated the tips. The program is primarily aimed at those 16 to 25 years old. The next Adulting 101 class is scheduled for March 18th. And that session will cover financial know-hows. Future classes will feature topics like getting a job, finding real news online, and cleaning an oven. I don't know how to clean an oven. Like, if there's a specific way you have to do it, I don't think I know that way. And getting a job is also really hard. I remember getting my first job. There was an option to do online applications. This is something I've talked to some other people up here in the studio also. But you have the option of doing the online application. That's what they encourage people to do. But people at the store level who actually make the hiring decisions... don't actually get to look at those. They only really get to look at the paper applications. So when they look at them, that's who they end up hiring the most.
Okay.
So hopefully this class will teach you how to, like, stand out online, because I have bad luck getting online replies.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do. And I hate, like, having to apply online, because then you don't, like, go in and you meet the person. And then you just don't remember. You just a name. on a screen to them.
You also don't know, like, I've never gotten feedback on it before. I've submitted online applications, but then I've also, the only time I've ever actually gotten a job I've submitted an application to online was when I also emailed the person directly and talked to them directly about it. And they're like, oh yeah, I didn't even look at your online application. I just went off what you sent me.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. Why even bother at this point?
Exactly.
A last geeky news, regular news story. I'm still back at 620. Regular news story. A man strips in traffic, yells, I am God! And wrestles with Melbourne cops. In Melbourne, Florida, a Melbourne man who authorities said hopped out of his car in a busy causeway and stripped naked in the rain before wrestling with several police officers in front of onlookers remains under mental evaluation. The incident reported about 3 p.m. Wednesday as heavy rains and winds whipped through the area. Melbourne Police Lieutenant Stephen Sadoff said the unidentified man was driving through the Algale Causeway when he stopped and got out of his vehicle. Quote, he pulled over and took off all of his clothes on top of the causeway. Then he started running around yelling, I am God. Melbourne police arrived within moments, attempted to grab the slippery, naked man in the rain. The man was then handcuffed and taken into custody. He was turned over to a nearby hospital for an evaluation. An investigation continues.
Oh, buddy. You have a new day.
Right? And I've gotten streaking before, but never this extreme, I think. I think you'd say this is kind of extreme.
Yeah.
I don't know why in the rain. I guess that does make you slippery and harder to grab, but why in the rain?
It's when you just oil yourself up so they can't grab you.
Like, if you're going to streak, man, at least do it somewhere fun, like at a sporting event. I remember in high school when I was in band, you had to play for the football games, right? So yeah. There was one kid who, during homecoming, he got his shirt off, and got half his pants off, and got to like the 50-yard line before he got tackled. So at least do something fun like that in front of a crowd, not just like in traffic where you're a jerk. That's the news on 89.9 KGRGFM. We still have your Weird Elephant Shaun of the Dead tickets. That's 253-833-5004 if you want to win them. We're also taking your requests at the same phone number, and that's 253-833-5004. We'll be back with our account of the Bret Michaels Morning After Show. Since, you know what? We didn't get to talk about it on Friday. It was kind of intense.
It was a lot.
You're listening to The Buzz. 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. And last Thursday, the reason we weren't on air Friday morning is because Derek and I went to a little concert. I wouldn't exactly call it little, because our friendship is based around it.
Yeah.
But we saw The Morning After open up for Bret Michaels and Warrant. And boy, howdy, was that an experience.
It was a dandy little experience.
So, Morning After ended up opening, and that was great. I have a blog post that's going up on KJRG.com right after the show. And you can read about my thoughts about that show, or about that set. I'm just going to say, if you ever have the chance to see a local band play on a big stage, go do it. But personally, not my favorite way to see a band.
Really?
Yeah, so I actually saw them at Louis G's for their album release party. And they did a couple of shows in between. And those shows seem a little bit more fun to me now. I used to be all about going to those big stadium shows. Like, I used to go to the Tacoma Dome all the time. Used to go to White River all the time. I've even gone to Snoqualmie Casino a couple of times. And, like, those are where those big bands play, or at least, like, those big hard rock bands used to play. It's just all over those big stadiums. And I figured you didn't make it big until you sold out a packed stadium. But now that I, like, since I started at KGRG, I've become a little bit more of a fan of, like, now the Showbox is a big venue for me. Like, Showbox is the biggest I want to go, because you can still get next to the stage without having to buy, like, a freaking $300 ticket.
Yes.
And you can get right next to the stage, be next to the bands. But, yeah, it was still cool to see him there, though. Like, that was a big deal. They had their album release, that was, what, 2-3 weeks ago? And there they are opening for Bret Michaels.
I mean, hey.
Now, the Warrant set, again, not the biggest fan of. The morning after, they sounded phenomenal, and it's great to see them. They killed it on stage. Warren, they have one song that everybody wants to hear. They know it, the crowd knew it, and they didn't play it until, like, the last song.
Yeah.
That said, yours sort of seemed like it drug on forever. They all seemed really old, too. Like, that was something weird. Like, Bret Michaels, he still looks like he's... like he did in the show freaking 10 years ago, or however long it was.
Yeah.
But Warrant, they all seem like just old dudes hanging out with guitars.
I mean, I love Warrant, but...
they're one of those bands, maybe you should just stick to the MP3 song. Bret Michaels, on the other hand, that was insane.
That was really fun.
It's been a while since I've seen any sort of big name like that. But Bret Michaels is still a big name on his own. Have that sort of fun. It was just overall a fun show.
It was. I mean, he does perform in front of giant headshots of himself, but...
who doesn't want that, though? Like, you know you made it once you're performing in front of headshots of yourself and you have a band named after yourself. Like, when was the last time you heard of a band, like, a band named after a dude? Like, was it? Like, I'm trying to think. Like, last time I can think of was, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
When you had, like, the Whoever Project or the Whatever Experience or just name plus, I guess, adjective is the right word for that. But the highlight of the evening was Bret Michaels' last song before his encore, which we didn't stick around for because his last song was too much. He played Nothing But a Good Time.
And it was a time for sure.
So if you ever thought about getting on stage... make sure it's you and, like, 8 of your friends. That way you swarm and you, like, overwhelm the stagehands. Because that's what ended up happening. You had, a mob of ladies get up on stage and the stagehands just didn't know what to do. And they did everything from twerk in front of the drummer to go topless. It was a little intense. That was the first time I've ever been flashed at a show before.
Same.
Like, I've been to plenty of shows, and that's, I guess there's a first for everything. But I don't think I needed that.
Yeah.
So, if you ever go to a show and think it's okay to flash the crowd, I guess, think twice. It was funny, it was great, like, the room was super energetic, and everyone lost their freaking minds. But on my way home, I'm just like, I didn't need to see any of that. I've got a girlfriend, goddammit.
Yeah. That was a lot of time.
But I had a fun time either way. It's cool that that Andrew went with us, T2 hung out with us, we got to hang out with... we call him T2 Junior?
T3.
But if you went to the show, hit us up at TheBuzzKGRG on Facebook and on Twitter. Let us know. Send us pictures. Or, you know what? We'll call this the question of the day. Do you like big venues or small venues? I'm going to post it up on our Instagram, on our Twitter, and our Facebook. That's our question of the day for today. Big venues or small music venues? What's your personal preference?
All of them.
We'll be back with your word of the week after Respect by The Morning After. You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and it is indeed time for your word of the week, where I find some words, and I think they're super helpful. We're going to talk them through, because that's what we do. And that rhymed a little bit, and I'm proud of myself.
Proud of you.
Right, though? So this morning's... We're gonna do some help for those awkward folks out there. You wildflowers, you tall, lanky weirdos, whatever you want to call yourselves. This week's word of the week is tall gray. AKA an extraterrestrial, that weird person, someone who's being awkward or weird. Example, stop being such a tall gray. Not trying to be tall gray tonight and have fun. Or, ew, he's being such a tall gray. So, idea behind this is... you're basically acting like an alien. Aliens, of course, you know, you're not very social adept. are socially adept. You don't know how to carry yourself in conversation. If you're at a party, you're that dude who just sort of hangs out there by yourself against a wall or something. So let's start with the party scene, because that happens a lot. I've been to a couple parties where I've personally felt super uncomfortable. There wasn't anything going on, like nothing bad or anything, just it wasn't my scene. So do you have any advice for that sort of person who's just sort of awkwardly there?
No. I don't know.
Something personally I had to do was I had to learn real quick never to go to a party by myself. Always at least carry some sort of security blanket person with me. And that person had to be relatively outgoing or at least know a majority of the people there for me. The worst thing in the world was when I went to a party where, like, I had a friend who was going to go with me or who, I was going to meet them there, and that was the only person I knew. And that person ended up bailing, so when I was there, like, yeah, there was alcohol, it was a fun time, but I was just sort of like, I don't know how to talk to people, these are strangers, help. It was just a bad time. So I guess my biggest tip is go with the security blanket if you're not the most outgoing person.
Yeah, I would do that. Security blanket.
Who's your security blanket? If you could bring one person to a party with you, who would it be?
Well, Andrea doesn't party. She's a baby.
Is she your outgoing person, though?
No, she's not. I would bring my friend Jamila.
Why?
Because she's a party. Once I went to a party with her where I didn't know anybody, like, she knew, like, one person. And, like, when she partakes in the devil's lettuce, she gets very sleepy. Very sleepy. And she fell asleep, and I was like, well, I'm all alone. And, like, it was, like, a low-key kind of party. It wasn't, like, crazy, like, lots of loud music or whatever. And, like, people were playing, you know that card game Spoons?
Yes.
So we took all the spoons out of this guy's, like, kitchen, and, like, we just stuck them in her hair.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, I guess that's the other thing you can do, though, right? It's, like, if there's some sort of activity, it's, like, that one with spoons. A lot of the time I'll go and there'll be some sort of, like, video game system hooked up. Like, stand in line and play a video game with a person. A lot of the time, that's what it takes to, like, get a conversation going or some sort of connection. If there's always some sort of activity at a party, partake in that activity. Unless you don't feel comfortable, like, if you don't feel comfortable drinking and it's a drinking activity, at least hang around and watch and try to have a conversation or, like, participate in some way. For example, at Josh's birthday party, there was a beer pong. Super fun, but if that's not your thing, man, then that's not your thing. Like, I didn't play. I ended up hanging out with other people and just playing a different game. But get involved. Make friends. And social anxiety is hard, and I get it. I was there at one point myself personally. But the only thing you can do to break that is try to make new friends.
Yeah.
But that was your word of the week on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Tall Gray. An extraterrestrial, a weird person, someone who's being awkward or weird. If you got tips or tricks for somebody being awkward or weird, maybe someone who's going to Comic-Con this weekend? Hit us up at TheBuzzKGRG on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. Let us know what your tricks are. Maybe we'll ask Mike, because he's calling in at 7:20. That's coming up soon. He's got your tips and tricks for Emerald City Comic-Con that's happening this week. He's going to be hanging out there. He's going to do the same cosplay he did last year. Do you remember what that was, Danica? Were you around?
I wasn't here.
He was cosplaying as a college radio DJ.
Jesus.
Yes, KGRG t-shirt. He'll be there with his sticker, so if you see him, go say hi. He's got a lot to talk about, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG. We'll be back with Mike at 7:20 after Lights and Sounds by Yellow Card.
It's time to respect your elders.
Hey, you boys, get off my lawn.
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 Get off of my lawn. Get off of my lawn. Oh, God.
Did you hear me? I said get off my lawn now.
Get the F off my lawn!
This is Get Off My Lawn with Old Man Mike.
89.9 KGRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz, and online right now, we have another than Mike himself from The Monday Project. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. We just played some Kirby Crackle. Since you're going to be at Crackle Fest, that's going to be this Saturday, March 4th.
It's going to be Friday, March 3rd.
Friday, March 3rd.
How dare you give the wrong day.
But close enough, yeah.
Where am I?
Well, you're in the KGRG studio. I'm at home hanging around in my old man robe, and life is good. But no, Crackle Fest 7 is going to be this Friday, March 3rd, at the Hard Rock Cafe in downtown Seattle. That's going to be upstairs in the Cavern Room. It's a 21-plus show. You hang around in the bar, hang around with Nerd Rock fans from all over the world during Emerald City Comic Con weekend. You got a triple Nerd Rock bill this time. You've got H2 Awesome from Denver, Chamber Band from New York, bringing the melodic indie Nerd Rock vibe. And, of course, bringing the heat is always Seattle Nerd Rockers Kirby Crackle. It's going to be an awesome show.
And you actually have a ticket contest going on your Instagram and your Twitter, right?
Absolutely. For the last handful of weeks, we've been giving away tickets live on our show. This last Monday, we had our last live show before. And you know what? I was looting through the prize drawer, and I still have a pair of tickets left. So I thought I would do a last chance ticket drawing. So to be entered into that, what you need to do is send me an email. You know, see, I figured since it's a 21-plus show, it would be email is something adults do.
Fair.
But anyway, send me an email, MMAD, for Mike and Maggie After Dark, MMAD at KGRG.com. Just put a Crackle Fest in the subject line or something to that effect. I will put everybody in the drawing, do a hat drawing thing, and all of the winners will be notified on Thursday, which will be tomorrow, the day before the show.
Now let's get into Emerald City Comic Con, because we did this last year where you had some tips, and in fact, they were all super helpful. There were tips I even used for Jet City.
Oh, dope. So I got a handful of things. Thing number one, do some planning and prepare. A little bit of planning goes a long way. Now, a lot of folks have gone to, like, summer music festivals like Warp Tour or Bumbershoot. This is very similar in that between, like, all the panels and photo ops and artist signings, Emerald City Comic Con is like Disneyland. There's more to do than you could ever possibly get done, even across the 4 days. So go to their website, emeraldcitycomiccon.com, kind of figure out what you want to do, make some priorities, and just plan a little bit. You don't have to be rigid and figure like everything out, like down to the minute, but don't be that guy that just walks in and just be like super casual, go with the flow. Oh, I'll just, you know, figure it out when I get there. That sounds good at first, but the problem is by the time you get your bearings, you'll miss out on half a day worth of stuff, and you'll be kicking yourself. That's just amateur hour.
Now, do they at least have maps or anything that you can print out so you can map things out, or is it just a schedule?
Absolutely. I mean, the website is robust. There are, the maps of the con floor look like they're like civil defense plans. Because, I mean, the maps are very detailed and intricate. So, like, let's say if you want to get a comic book signed by a particular creator, you can find that creator, find specifically where they are in Artist Alley, like, let's say, table ZZ23, you know, you can go to the main map, figure out where the Artist Alley map is, and find table ZZ23, and then just plan your route so that you can make a line directly for that table.
That's super helpful.
Yeah. So I just talked a lot about planning, but also be prepared to throw your plans out. you know, things happen. Creators cancel at the last minute, schedule changes. Have a couple backup plans. Like, again, I use the example of like a music festival. Like, let's say, you know, you wanted to go see your favorite band at Warped Tour, and come to find out by the time it comes to the day of the show, they canceled unexpectedly or were replaced. Or like I remember, like last summer's Warped Tour, Good Charlotte was on Warped Tour, but not on our date. So, you know, you just kind of got to plan accordingly.
Well, God, I looked at the guest list, and if you look over all the people who are planning to be there, and unfortunately we had a lot of them pass away, like that was a huge bummer for a lot of people.
Definitely. So yeah, so it's just make sure you have contingency plans. And like, and actually with that, if like, let's say like I know a former news Baron Corbin, one of the things he's going to do at his very first Emerald City Comic Con this year is to see Stan Lee.
That's going to be a huge line. Oh,
that's a huge line. So what? So I messaged him. I told him, I go, I'm glad that you're going to do that. It's going to be really cool. But just understand that that is going to take up your entire day. You will get nothing else done that day. Because, I mean, the lines are just, you know, so oppressive. And he probably had to buy, like, a separate ticket for that. And so, actually, yeah, let's talk about lines a little bit. Definitely wear comfy shoes, because everything is walking, standing, waiting, not a lot of sitting. You'll be in lines to see creators. You'll be in lines to see panels. You'll be lines to go to the bathroom. There'll be lines to get into lines. That's actually a thing.
Now, is there any sort of line etiquette? Like, if you have to use the restroom while you're in the middle of a line, is there anything you can do? Or is it just move your meat, lose your seat?
Bring friends. You know, so, like, you know, you can, you know, the buddy system works. You know, generally, I've been kind of a solo adventure, so I've kind of... So what I do is I make friends in line. I call them line buddies.
So like,
yeah, so sometimes because generally, like, if we're like in line to see a artist or a writer, we're all there to see the same guy. So you're there for a while and it's like, oh, well, you know, have you read this new issue, or what did you think of that issue, or what he did with that character, or things like that? Yeah, you make friends really quick when you're in line.
That's adorable.
But yeah, they, you know, they get old spots for you. You know, be polite, be courteous, and be patient. You know, especially if you're going multiple days to the convention, it wears you out after a while, and that's where tempers start to flare, and you know, you kind of your nerves start to fray. Just be nice and be patient, be courteous. Another piece of advice is make sure you have like an empty bag for all the swag you're going to buy. Because if you have a backpack full of stuff already, well, you don't have any room to buy new stuff. That could be a problem.
I mean, it's not like we very conveniently have KGRG, you know, bags you could buy and donate if you visit KGRG.com.
Absolutely, yeah. You could get the drawstring backpack, or even the awesome Jack Bauer like messenger bag, the man purse. It's pretty awesome. Make sure you have money on you. Bring cash. Cash is king on the convention floor. You know, like a lot of the vendors and creators will have either card readers, or they'll have a Square or something like that. But generally, even like with Square, the fees you get charged are like a percentage of the total purchase. So it's not a flat fee. So if you spend like $100, you might be spending like a buck or two in fees. If you're spending more than that, it's kind of like sales tax. It goes up by percentage. And have your cash on you beforehand. Don't be a noob and use the ATM at the convention. That's just amateur hour. Dress appropriately. You know, you're going to be in a room with 100,000 people. It gets a little warm in there. Like, you know, I'll even wear shorts. Like, you know, like it'll be like, you know, April or March or whatever. Even like sometimes last weekend of February. And yeah, with all the running around, you get pretty warm and icky.
Now, do you have a pair of those like tearaway pants? I used to have a bunch of those, like, early 2000s, late 90s, where there's, like, the buttons down the side, and you could just rip them apart.
Those are hard to take off, I was going to say.
I had a pair of cargo pants that, like, unzipped at the thigh.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but then I overused them. So now I just wear, like, either cargo pants or leather jeans. Well, and sometimes shorts.
The weather's looking to be a little weird because I know we've had reports of snow, we've had thunder, or we've had lightning strike the Space Needle. So
oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Be expecting some very inclement weather, as they say. It's going to be bad outside.
So, yeah, so my advice is just dress appropriately. You know, you don't want to necessarily bundle up for the winter, but you don't want to necessarily be like, you know, shorts and sandals and a t-shirt, you know, kind of try to split the difference as best as you can. But the weather, but more or less the climate inside is going to be a lot different than it'll be inside or outside, or you get the idea.
Yeah.
Number one piece of advice though, it seems very basic. Don't forget your pass.
Because they
are not replaceable. There'd be like if you roll up to the desk there and say, "Hey, I left my pass at home." They'll be like, "Well, you'd be more than welcome to buy a new one." Oh, by the way, no, you can't because the show is sold out.
And those are all mailed ahead of time, right?
Yes. In fact, most people should have received their passes already. If you look on social media, just look at like hashtag ECCC, you'll see people like flashing their badges like that they're like in like a 90s rap CD. You know, like just flashing passes. It's awesome. Let me see. I got a handful more things. Importantly, take care of yourself. Stay hydrated and don't forget to eat. Something that's happened in the past is like people will get what we call con crud, which means like if you're in a room with 100,000 people for 4 days, you could get sick. Think of it being like on an airplane for 4 days straight. You know, there's just all that recycled germs in there. What I do is I'll take like a pouch of like emergency powder and put that in a bottle of water. And then instead of just drinking bottled water, I'm just drinking those all the time. Works for me for the most part, but I remember famously last year, I got the con crud like 4 days after the show. There was like this incubation period. And yeah, I got the Ebola for like a couple few days. It was not fun.
Well, even poor little intern Hunter for like that one day of Jet City, he got the con crud.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah,
that was
totally.
Just one day.
I didn't get to go to that, and I was sad.
But do they have water refill stations there? Or?
As far as I know, they have water fountains. So it's not like, say, like Warped Tour, or like the Gorge or something, where they'll have like these massive watering stations. But they've got water fountains all over the place. So yeah, so even if you don't have a bottle. And again, you know, like I've seen people with like, Camelbacks, you know, they'll have like it incorporated into their backpack and they'll be just like sucking on a straw thing or I'm not that high tech. I mean, it's like I've seen people like incorporated into their cosplay before. It's pretty cool. But no, I just do regular bottle of water. I'm good with that. But with not forgetting to eat, you know, I use my lunch times as an opportunity to kind of get off the show floor for a while. I'll actually go like a block or two away just to kind of get like a mental break from the crowds. So that's pretty cool. Here's one thing it's very, very obvious, but it needs to be said. Cosplay is not consent. Don't be a creeper. There's going to be a lot of cosplayers there, and a lot of them are going to be, well, quite frankly, provocatively dressed. There is going to be a lot of sexy people out on the con floor. A lot of ripped dudes that will make you question yourself and a lot of good looking people. Where I'm going with that is don't be a creep. Don't be gross. Ask for permission to take photos. And that's what the cosplayers are there for. They love the attention. They love posing for pictures. Be polite, be courteous, be nice, and you'll get a badass pose for it. But yeah.
And tag them too, because the best thing you can do is if they take the time to like actually take the picture with you, tag them so that they get credit for it.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Definitely.
And write hashtag nerds are sexy.
Definitely. Don't spend all your money in one place. It's a big show over several days. More cool stuff than you can ever buy. Buyer's remorse is a real thing. It's okay to be choosy. But that being said, just keep in mind that like Thursday, the first day of the show, is the day to get all the exclusives, like the Funko Pops. And I mean, there's so many show exclusives that I wouldn't even be able to start talking about them. But yeah, I mean, the exclusives go fast. But Sunday, on the other hand, that's the day to get your bargains. You know, if there's a statue that you saw on Friday, keep an eye out. If it's still there on Sunday, try to cut a deal. You know, don't try to cut a deal on Friday because, like, it's like, oh, I see you've got that marked for $70. Will you take 50? They'll be like, get out of here, kid. But on Sunday, it'd be like, hey, that's marked at 70. Will you take 50? Then they're like, well, I can either take cash money for it or load it onto the cart and load it back in my truck. Yeah, 50 sounds good. So just, just kind of be aware of what day it is. And most importantly, don't forget to have fun. Because it's, you know, the convention gets bigger and bigger every year. And it's, I mean, to the point where like they moved all of the, celebrity signings, over to the Sheraton across the street. They're not even in the, convention center proper anymore.
So there's actually multiple locations?
Oh yeah, but it's all accessible within the same block, so it's not like you have to leave to go somewhere. Like the Sheraton is actually accessible from the convention center; it's right next door. But yeah, there's stuff on at least six levels of the convention center, and then across the Sky Bridge, there's another three or four floors of the of stuff like panel rooms and whatnot. And actually, I'll get to this in just a quick second. I want to make sure and let folks know where they can find me and the Costume for Characters for Causes photo booth. But basically, that's going to be in the lower level of the convention center building across the street. But like the Sheraton, you can get to it from the main building, and that's where, you know, you can meet your Vincent D'Onofrio's and your Jeremy Renner's and, you know, cast of Stranger Things and, you know, all the big time celebrity signings. So more or less, like I said, plan ahead. So like if you walk into the main entrance of the convention center and, you know, you're looking at your map, I'm like, but I want to go see Hot Guy. You know, where's the not Jason Bourne guy? you know, that, hey, Hot Guy needs pills. That's all I have to say about that movie. That's going to be at the Sheraton. So it's not actually inside the convention center. So just plan ahead. Speaking of planning ahead, I have a pro tip for everybody that's listening. It's a pro tip / hype. I mentioned a second ago that where folks can find me specifically, I'm going to be at Emerald City Comic Con all 4 days. You can find Old Man Mike, Mr. Monday Night himself. I am going to be hanging around at the charity photo booth for Costume Characters for Causes. Now, they are a local business where they dress up as costume superheroes and they bring funding, awareness, and joy to local pediatric charities. And this year, they are fronting for a local charity called the Good Times Project, which basically is a no-cost camp for kids and families dealing with cancer diagnosis and other illnesses. It's a group that I've grown really close to. We hooked up with them during the Jet City Comic Show last year, and so they've invited me to kind of share a table with them. Can come up to photo booth. It's no cost, but there is a suggested donation. get your picture taken with Tony Stark. In fact, their Tony Stark is so good to where, like, I was a guest of the Robin Slim Show podcast recently, and they thought that I had a picture with Robert Downey Jr. They were like, "Oh my God, when did you meet Robert Downey Jr.?" And I was like, "No, it's a cosplayer. That's his costume." And it's funny, you talk to Jason, he actually kind of sounds like Tony a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's really neat. But anyway, so they're going to be doing photo opportunities at their booth, and I will be there as well, handing out KGRG bumper stickers as well as flyers about how you can sign up for the broadcast journalism program here at Green River College. And basically do what all of us are doing right here on the radio. It's really cool.
And you'll be hanging out in your college radio cosplay, right?
Absolutely. That's going to be my cosplay.
I'm going to die.
I may or may not bring the Wild Dog gear. I haven't decided
do.
Yet.
Like I saw.
I just might.
I saw your cape photos, so you got to wear your Wild Dog stuff with your Emerald City cape. Oh.
There it is.
Great.
I may have to do that. So one last thing I wanted to let you guys know about the costume characters for Causes photo booth is are you guys into the Funko Pops at all?
Yes.
How would you like the opportunity to bid on extremely rare prototypes? One of their volunteers, his name's Mike Martin. He's one of the designers for Funko. And he's donated 7 extremely rare prototype figures from his own personal collection. And
oh, wow.
Basically, so let's see, I'll tweet out a picture in just a minute, but basically there's a classic Daredevil, 2 different versions of Batman, Civil War Iron Man, World War II Captain America, which was an Emerald City Comic-Con exclusive Funko Pop, Skull Island Kong, and Doctor Strange. So basically all the figures are going to be there and available for viewing. They're doing 2 things. They're doing a silent auction where basically you can write down what your bid is, and that goes throughout the convention. And on Sunday, let me see if I can find a time here. Okay, actually I'm just going to read this. Update on the Funko Pop auctions. We'll be having both silent and live auctions for these pops. The Daredevil and 2 Batman pops will be for the silent bids. The Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Captain America, and Kong will be live auctioned on Sunday after the silent auction finishes. So it's going to be an actual live auction. Like, hey, I hope they have a gavel. because like one of the actual auctioneer is actually a professional auctioneer. So it's going to be really, really cool. Also of note, any of the silent auction bids that make it to $250 or above, they will automatically be entered into a drawing for an Age of Ultron Collector Core box. Now, a Collector Core box is basically kind of like a loot crate from specifically from Funko.
Okay.
So, you know, you could get like super rare ones in there, as well as some exclusives. Like it's convention season. It's all about them exclusives.
Oh yeah, that's super legit too. Holy cow!
Yeah, I mean, people go bonkers for those collector core boxes. So all you need is there. It's like you can get your pictures with your favorite costume superheroes. You get to see Old Man Mike and get a bumper sticker. You get to bid on some awesome Funko Pop prototypes, of which a lot of these are one of a kind. So that's like the holy grail of toy collecting there, as well as participate in the a live auction on Sunday, and all of the proceeds from the photo booth and the auctions benefit the Good Times Project. So it's having fun and supporting a great cause. Last thing I want to mention about the booth is that so basically when you walk into the front entrance for the main convention center, don't go through that door.
Okay.
Turn around, cross the street, and go into the TCC building from the opposite side. Because basically, so it's just funny how things have worked out, because when you walk in through that lower level, you'll be right there at the Costume Characters for Causes a photo booth as part of the Family HQ area. That's where the 501st Legion is going to be. You know, those were the guys, Cork, you and the suction darts.
Yeah.
Those guys are going to be there. The Lego Brick Nation is going to be there, so get your Lego on. And they have the Pacific Northwest Saber Guild, where they, you know, I teach you a lightsaber technique and things like that. It's, you know, it's a great family area, but it's also this has been like my secret passageway to get into the convention for years. Basically, what you do is, instead of going through 100,000 people, you go through this back way, go up the stairs, and suddenly you're in the back of the convention instead of the front. It's a really efficient way to go. And so when Jason told me where they are located at, I'm like, oh, well, that's my way to get in, and I'll share that as a pro tip for folks.
Well, there you go.
So I'm giving you exclusive secrets. And then just make sure and find me at the booth. And if you see me at Crackle Fest on Friday, stop by and say hi. I'll have bumper stickers there as well.
Well, if people want to tweet at you to try to make it easier to hunt you down, how could they do that?
You can hit me on my show page. That's going to be at MondayProject89. Or you can hit me on my personal Twitter. That is at Mike Seibert Radio.
Well, sir.
Or just type in Mike Seibert. I'm not the Mars Rover guy. I'm the other one.
Okay. Is there a Mars Rover one?
Yeah, and if you just type in Mike Seibert into Twitter, the first match is he's a dude that worked on the Mars rover, and his icon is a Rebel Alliance symbol.
That's pretty legit.
Yeah, so he's at Mike Seibert, so I can't necessarily take that from him, because he's a dude that's a dude.
Well, Mike, we'll be sure to catch you Monday night. That's 7 to 10 for the Monday Project to hear all about your recap, and hopefully you don't die of the Conqueror or get dysentery or anything fun. Or if you do, at least come back and share, right?
Absolutely. It's going to be a great time. You know, I've been going all 15 years. This is my first time behind a table, so it's going to be a new fun experience for me. And it's going to be a really fun show. So, definitely stop on by.
Well, thanks for taking the time to join us, Mike. And enjoy.
Thanks
Get some rest.
On the show. Yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun. It was good to be back on the buzz.
We missed you. And you're more than welcome to come back anytime you... I know adulting's hard work and stuff, so...
Come back enough. Soon. All right, so what are we playing next?
We're going to have some MCLRs up next. Because why not, right?
Nice. Appreciate that. All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, have a good morning, Mike.
All right, bye-bye.
That was Mike from the Monday Project, 89.9 KGRGFM. Again, you can catch him every Monday, 7 to 10... He's always under construction, but he's a ton of fun. You want to make sure you catch his con recap. It's going to be Monday. In the meantime, we'll be back with your six-pack after Hot Topic Is Not Punk Rock by MC Lars, 89.9 KGRGFM.
Now get off my lawn. You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with the buzz.
KGRG 89.9 FM, you're listening to The Buzz.
Yo.
It's time for our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. But let's get into it anyways. Danica, what is our six-pack this morning?
So, once upon a time, Poison frontman Brett Michaels was looking for love in the celebrity reality world. And so who could forget the days of Rock of Love? Right?
You did it?
I did it.
Woo! Oh my gosh, I am so excited. Best six pack ever right now. Like if we do a clip show or like a best of show, this is it.
So we're just gonna Rock of Love girls, where are they now? In no particular order of who's your favorite or not. It's just in a weird order.
Because who doesn't love trashy TV, right?
We're gonna start with Heather Chadwell, number six.
Whew. That's somebody I was expecting to be at that show on Thursday.
I was like, she's totally backstage. Totally backstage, it's happening. So, after her stint on VH1, Heather scored some acting roles on Californication and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
She was on that show.
She played a hooker. As of 2014, she lives back in her hometown of Ohio and is a realtor. Did not see that coming.
Right?
Not even a little bit.
Who knew?
Not even... Probably the most terrifying. Angelique Frenchie Morgan, number 5. Do you remember Angelique?
I don't. We'll probably have to post pictures on, like, Facebook and Twitter and stuff. We can't?
We cannot.
Why?
Because...
Like, did something happen to her face?
No, she's just, like, always naked.
Oh, never mind then.
Angelique still lives in California. She wears pink often as a vegetarian and animal rights activist. She has participated in several international reality shows. I will show you a clip of her later because, wow, she's a lot to take in.
Ugh, gross.
There's, like, one... Okay, I just made an honorable mention. There's, like, one person who, like, wasn't on this list for some reason. Megan. Because my favorite thing in the world is Megan in her stupid silver bikini and getting a drink thrown on her by Sharon Osbourne. It's the greatest moment of my life.
That show was just insane in general. Like, I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah, let's do it. But speaking of Megan, her BFF, Brandy C.
Yes!
The pink hair, don't care. So in 2009, Brandy said she was engaged and living in Florida. Presence on social media suggests that she lives on the East Coast, probably in Florida, and hangs out with some dude named Chris Crocker, whoever that is. She goes to Tampa's Comic Con, so that's cool.
She wasn't the one that looked like a... Like a, not a raptor, but like, you know, that, the
raptor?
Dinosaur, the dinosaur on Jurassic Park, the one that like had its neck fan thing fling out. Like, that's what the back of her hair reminded me of. That's not her, was it?
I don't know.
I'll have to explain later.
Yeah.
Cause I'm bad at words sometimes.
hold on, I skipped it.
You skipped it?
I don't know where I'm going. What number are we on?
That was number 4, right?
Yeah. Number...
Well, yeah. We do number 3 later.
I don't know what we're doing. I'm scared.
We're going to end this half of the six-pack here. We're in the six-pack of the top 6. I guess, where are they now? Rock of Love Girls?
I guess. I don't know what's happening.
We'll be back with part 2. That's numbers 3, 2, and 1. After Nice Place to Visit by These Young Fools, because... They're really good friends of the Monday Project and really good friends of KJRG, and let's give them some plays, right? You can also catch them. I know that Mike premiered their latest EP in its entirety on the Monday Project, so go back and listen to him on SoundCloud. He's on iTunes, he's on Google Play, he's on KJRG.com. That's the Monday Project. Go visit him, check out his stuff. We'll be back with part 2 of our six pack after These Young Fools.
And now, back to the six pack.
KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Seminole Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we're in the middle of our six pack, our top 6 list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome, but this qualifies as awesome. It's basically just the foundation of a Dan and I's friendship.
Yeah.
It's how we're just like, yo, we're best friends now. And
yeah.
Danica, hit him with what it is.
Rock of Love contestants, where are they now? We've got Heather Chadwell, who's a realtor. Angelique Frenchie Morgan, who is a vegetarian, I guess. And Brandy C., who's in Florida.
Yes! Yes!
It's cool. Yes!
I mean, that's a profession, right? Just a professional Floridian.
Hey, man, she goes to Comic-Con.
Dude, you can make bank doing that. Just ask Mike. He's going to be there at Emerald City all 4 days, and dude, if you can just get at a table and just charge people for signatures, you've got it made.
Right, though?
Some of those guys is like $50 for a selfie.
Right, though?
Meanwhile, I put a selfie up on Instagram and I get reported, so.
You get charged. Oh, man. So, at number 3, Daisy De La Hoya. I thought that she was gross looking.
Okay.
It was like her. It was season two. It was like her and Amber.
I wasn't as big of a fan of season two.
It was the one that like Heather like always like beat the crap out of.
Right.
Yeah. She looks way different now. Holy crap. She lives in LA and performs with her band Black Star Electra. She's also acting, working on solo music project, and working on reconnecting with her mother, who she's been estranged from.
Aww.
Shout out to you, Mom.
There were quite a few musicians on Rock of Love. Like, that was the one surprising thing is most of those dating shows, like, I've actually watched The Bachelor, unfortunately, and most of these girls are just like, I used to be a cheerleader in high school. I was a gymnast.
I love The Bachelor.
But none of them were as talented as, like, the Rock of Love girls who were, like...
Strippers. They were all strippers.
They were strippers, but they were in bands, and they did motocross, and they could tie various fruit peels and stems with their tongues.
You're just describing only Lacey.
I mean, come on. She was my favorite, though, so...
Yeah. She's the craziest one.
Let's go ahead and do number two.
When you think of just, like, weird, uncontrollable, and inappropriate laughter in a cowboy hat, who do you think of?
I don't know if this person's listening or not, but, like...
Oh, no.
My mom tends to get a little fun when she's been drinking wearing a cowboy hat.
Oh. Rodeo.
Yes! Oh, she's the one who looked like she like somebody left her out in the sun too long.
Yeah, she still does.
Like, she was super tan and just, like, she almost looked like a baseball glove just as a person.
Like, she looked, like, twice as old as every other girl there.
But it's the experience that counts.
Yeah.
Yes!
According to her Twitter bio, Cindy Rodeo Steedle lists many of her hobbies as and whatever... Her many things, including a celebrity trainer, I lost when I was talking, Stila's back in Georgia and raising her son. She's a personal trainer, fitness guru, and owns her own production company.
Oh.
She's got a cute little dog in her picture.
Now, is her Twitter verified?
I don't know.
That's the real question.
I could not tell you.
After, we'll conduct further research and get back to you on that one.
Thumbtacks!
Number one, you already know. I already know. Lacey Connor.
Yes!
As of 2014, Lacey Connor Skulls, she's married now, is the lead singer of the band Halo. She's happily married and, you guessed it, an animal rights activist.
Now, from like the first episode, she had that crazy look in her eyes. Like, she always had her eyes almost a little too open.
Yeah, okay, so, like, the before picture, like, you can see the crazy, but in the after picture, like, she looks, like, the crazy look in her eye is gone.
Well, that's good.
Maybe getting
she
married.
Got some sort of help.
Somebody
or something.
Married her and tamed that girl down, I guess.
That's surprising, because she was a lot.
Oh, another honorable mention from Rock of Love Bus, Ashley, she's part of the Blondourage.
I forgot about the bus when they went on tour.
Yeah. She says she gave up her stripper heels for a minivan.
Aww.
She's a mommy now.
Those alliances were the best, too. Like, out of any other show, like, you had the Blondourage.
The Blondourage.
In the first season, you had, like...
Brandy C. and Megan.
Yes.
And Megan's dog.
But that was our six-pack this morning, the top six Rock of Love girls, and where they are now on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Sure, you're trashy reality TV shows. Maybe you're a Rock of Love fan, too. Hit us up at TheBuzzKGRG on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. But stay tuned, because up next, we have Adam and Dennis joining us from Marsalis to talk all about future plans, as well as their show at the Crocktile. That's March 10th, and they... Their tickets are sold out, but if you want tickets, you can visit thecrocodile.com and get tickets there. Again, that's happening at 8:20. That'll be back after No Sleep by Twin Atlantic. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Well, good morning. You're listening to The Buzz, and I've got Dennis and Adam from Marsalis in studio with me. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. It's early.
Right? Hey.
Yes. We're up, though.
Oh, doing it. So, you guys, last time I talked to you was before you won the Northwest Album of the Year, or Northwest Music Scene Album of the Year. How's that been for you? How exciting was that hearing the announcement?
No, it's great.
It's awesome.
Yeah, we're very...
Super exciting. No joke. Like, we're looking at each other kind of grinning ear to ear.
Very humbled.
Well, yeah. You guys put in a lot of work for it. I think the most notable thing was how much promotion you guys did. Let's talk about that a little bit and getting yourself out there, because more than any other band I've seen, you guys are always putting something on your Facebook, always something on your Instagram. You guys are just all about content. So what's the process for you guys?
I mean, I think that it's really important to have something out there for people that are into your music, you know, besides just the music. And a lot of bands, it's something that I feel like they don't have time for, they don't have the energy for, or they just feel it's not important. But I mean, I think we all look at, we're in 2017, and yes, music is important, but there's so much more to that as far as, you know, who you are as a band, who you are as musicians. And you know, for us, you know, we're not on tour. We're not touring the world right now. So what are we doing between shows? You know, we play between Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver, BC. And when we're not playing a show, you know, what else is going on? We're always busy doing something. But I think it's important to show people that are into our music and into us and what we're doing, show them that we're doing things. And it's also a way for us to show a different side of us than just the performance, just the music. You know, you get to see our grinning faces and kind of get a peek behind the scenes of what we're doing and who we're working with as far as, you know, new material or, you know, getting ready for a show or, you know, it's just kind of fun. I think people like it. And if they like it on the social media, if they share it, you know, bonus. It's awesome.
I think you guys even got our program director Trevor up on like the boomerang thing now. He's been posting those like crazy. He's like, hey, look at my dog. He's catching the ball by himself.
Did we do that?
No, Trevor did.
Okay.
But you guys got him on the boomerang thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was... Because Teresa, our keyboard player, who's not with us this morning, she showed me the boomerang. And so, I mean, she's the guilty party, I'm sure. It's all her fault, but...
It's cool. Like, I think the favorite one I've seen so far is, like, Adam, it was you and Teresa just holding up a couple of times, just going up and down. And it caught my eye. It worked.
Yeah. And, I mean, that was when we had the snowstorm.
Yeah.
So, she came over to my place, and we live pretty close to each other. And, hey, why don't we do something in the snow? Like, yeah, it snows here every year, but, like, just the timing was so epic, and it's such a beautiful... I thought it was just, we should go out in the snow and do something. I don't care what it is. It'd be fun. So, yeah, I'm glad to get some feedback that you like that.
It's great. And let's talk about the album itself, since it won, again, Northwest Music Scene Album of the Year. Listening to a lot of bands between live and the recorded album, a lot of times you can definitely hear the difference. But when I heard you guys live at the Pledge Drive show a while back, and I listened back to your album, it sounded pretty damn straight on. Like, I closed my eyes and it almost sounded exactly like the recording. How much practice time went into that?
I mean, we work really hard on making sure our live set mimics and recreates what you hear when you listen to our record. It's a big deal. You know, we want it to be resembling what you listen to when you do, you know, put the CD in your CD player, or you listen to the MP3, or when you're on Spotify and you're streaming our song. So recreating that atmosphere is important to us. So we rehearse. We've got a great set of musicians that care tremendously about creating that energy and creating that atmosphere. And so we work really hard to do that. So it's I'm glad you recognized that. I'm glad you appreciated that and you enjoy it. So it's what we always try to do with every show. Any music we do present is that we're presenting it in a way that resembles what you're hearing whenever you decide you want to listen to it online.
Now, do you guys have a follow-up? Because, you know, new year, new album, right?
2017.
Yeah, this day and age, I mean, it used to be you could probably go a year and a half, maybe even 2 years between releases. But nowadays, it seems like you need to have more more music, more content more often. I think it's something we thrive on. It's something we subscribe to having, like Adam was alluding to earlier, it's constant content. You want to keep people engaged. You want to keep your fans engaged. And it's important because we're in a society now where you need to have stuff out there. You got to compete with constant content. People are constantly putting stuff out there. So for us, it's important to continue to put quality, though. We're not just going to want to put something out mm-hmm. there that just for the sake of doing it. For us, it's very purposeful. Our music, the songwriting, the lyrical content means a tremendous amount to us. So it needs to be something we feel and we are willing to get behind. So we are working on a new record right now. We've got we have 7 songs selected. We're going to dwindle down to 5. We might have some options for the other 2, but the 5 songs we've selected now, we're in the phase of we're getting close to vocals. So we're right there, about 80%.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, we're getting close to finalizing that material. We feel really good about it. It's going to be a really awesome next step. We're excited and thrilled to share it with our fan base and everybody else out there. We think it's going to be impactful.
Now, something I like to ask bands is, during the recording process, what sort of munchies do you bring in with you? Because staying energetic, staying well-fed, well-fueled is super important. So, favorite studio munchies? Are you even allowed to eat in the studio? Is that a...
I have no... Dennis is laughing at me. Anytime recording comes up, I'm the weirdo. I generally don't enjoy the recording process all that much. And there's a bunch of musicians out there that are shaking their heads. But hey, we're all into our own thing.
Right? It's a job, man.
For me, it's so much less real than the performance at the shows. I get all my enjoyment from being on stage, interacting with the people that come out to the shows that are digging the music or trying to make that connection with someone who might just be laying back, wondering if they like you or not. I'm going to let this band prove themselves to me. I like trying to make that connection. So for me, I try to stay out of the studio as much as possible. But, I mean, I like to try to stay healthy. So if there's like a teriyaki place nearby, try to get the veggie dish or something. But who are we kidding? I'm pretty sure it's all bad for you.
See, I'm completely different. I'm my hero is Brian Wilson. I'm a studio junkie. I'm a songwriting junkie. I love just the art of putting everything together that's in my head for the music and songs I write. So I think for me, the breaks always seem to come. You run off, you get something to drink. It's usually unhealthy. The snacks are unhealthy. Everything about... It's the gas station that's closest
it's
to the studio.
Always there's a gas station.
There's a gas station that's pretty close to our studio.
Or the teriyaki shop next to the gas station.
Well, there's a Chinese. It's a Chinese. That's actually
Sorry,
a Chinese restaurant.
My bad. The Chinese restaurant.
Is it like the greatest seafood ever? It's got the funniest name, but great Chinese food. There's a studio next to our studio up there. There's about 3 or 4 different places. We can get Subway. You can get Chinese food, and you can get gas station, which. Up in Canada, gas stations are pretty nice, so it's good food.
You sounded a little Canadian when you said that.
I know, I guess so. I think it's an Esso station. Yeah, there's good food. We always go grab Tim Hortons or we grab some
Tim Hortons.
Canadian there candy bars and some ketchup chips and go for it.
There's always a run to Tim Hortons on the way home.
Yeah, always.
Always?
We always do that.
And it doesn't matter what hour it is.
We always stop.
Doesn't matter how late it is.
Every time.
It's always Tim Hortons.
It's always Timmy's.
So maybe it's Tim's. Maybe
that's Tim Hortons.
Well, I've got to do that with Carl's Jr. every time I head down towards Portland.
Yeah.
Because there's one somewhere in Tacoma, but then it's always just there's... Other than that, they're always just strung out in between here and Portland. So I get it. You always have to make that one stop.
So what's your Carl's Jr. go-to?
Yeah, what's your go-to?
There's one with jalapenos. It's got onion rings on it and... I almost have to take a couple of onion rings off because otherwise I have to unhinge my jaw like a snake.
Too many.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to Dennis and Adam from Marsalis, but you guys are also from the band Moneta, and you're celebrating a very special anniversary. 10 years is a long time, guys.
Well, we're not actually in that band.
No?
We're friends with Moneta.
You're friends with Moneta.
Yeah, no,
we have had some run-ins with them as far as playing with them.
Yeah, okay. I've
backed up for them 1 or 2 times on bass, but we've known those guys forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
our band Truce played with them a couple times back.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay,
you're probably intertwined with them. We got a lot of familiarity with them. You know, great guys, good band. Yeah, we're excited to be part of that bill. We're very, very excited to be part of it. It's the second time we played the Crocodile with Moneta, and I think for Adam and I, we've played with that band or in that, you know, for quite a while, a few years now. So yeah, it's super exciting.
Okay,
yeah, and they that's what it was. You know, members of that band are, you know, everyone's played with a bunch of different people, and there's been different bands made of that band that we've all crossed paths and everything.
Yeah.
So good guys. For them, it's like, I mean, 10 years doing
it. I'm thinking 10 years ago, what was I doing? I'm just like, oh, crap, I was in high school.
Yeah, yeah. And that's when they were getting going. And before that, they were all in bands that were doing stuff beforehand, too. So they're bringing people out of the woodworks as far as, you know, people that aren't part of their current group, per se, are coming back to fill in to play previous albums, you know, when they first started and things. So fans of that band who have been with them through the legacy of the last 10 years, they're going to get to see, like, you know, original members of, you know, first album, you know, moving forward. All those guys are going to be there, which is pretty cool. Because some of the people that, you know, we first started playing with in the scene, especially me, were in kind of that first lineup. So, you know, seeing them again is going to be really exciting.
Well, let's talk about how, like, where would you guys like to be 10 years from now? Realistically speaking, 10 years from now, Adam, Dennis, you guys are still in Marsalis, still doing your thing. Are you talking world tours? Are you talking like living out in UK somewhere? Where would you guys like to be? Because
the loaded question.
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I think Adam and I have a very similar vision on what it means to be successful in music, and it's not. I mean, we enjoy the ability to live here and do it on a local level, but we both have aspirations to do it on another level. And I think, you know, if there's opportunities presented themselves in time and we're able to capitalize on them, I mean, we'd love to be a touring band. We'd love to be touring all over the world. I mean, if the opportunities allowed us to do that and they made sense, and yeah, I mean, we're musicians. I mean, when it comes down to playing music and being musicians, I mean, we're still doing it. We're still playing music, and we've been doing it I've been doing it since 1998, and I have been playing live music since then. I think Adam's been playing. I don't know, how long have you been playing?
Since the fifth grade.
It's the fifth grade.
Whatever
man.
That
there
means.
You go.
Whatever that is. I mean, it's in our blood. It's what we love to do. It's part of who we are. It's our fabric. It's our identity. So we want to be playing music as long as we can. If it's 10 years from now, if it's 20 years from now, 10 years from now, as long as we're still playing and doing it on a relevant level and putting out good music that people can enjoy and identify with, then in our opinions, that's a success. If it's touring the world, if it's playing sold out shows in Seattle and Portland, then great.
Yeah, there's something, you know, there's different types of people, just, you know, there's different types of musicians, just like there's different types of people, and everybody wants something different. And we want to do what we do as big as we can and do it as happily as we can.
The best we can.
You know, the best we can. And, you know, whatever that means, that's what it's going to be. And something that, you know, we talk about all the time, you know, we've seen a lot of people come and go in, like, you know, the scene, if you call it that, or just musicians in general, where, hey, you know what they say, I've had this conversation with people, it's weird, hey, you know what, if this band I'm in right now doesn't make it, and I put make it in quotes, if this band doesn't make it, I'm done.
That's intense, it's
hard for me to not be a jerk and say, why are you playing music? Like, that's the only reason. Dennis and I will play music till we can't physically do it anymore. It doesn't matter if we're world touring or if we're playing in coffee shops. It's going to happen until we can't do it anymore. And I feel, you know, I feel like I can legitimately speak for the rest of our bandmates that they feel the same way.
Absolutely.
So whatever it means, it doesn't matter. We'll be doing it and we'll make it so where we enjoy it no matter what it is.
Well, how has being able to play changed since, well, Adam, since the fifth grader, since the 90s, Dennis? Because you guys have, it's been, what, 20 years since then? How has it changed, the being able to play? Is it like a time commitment thing or getting people together? Is it just booking gigs?
I think it's different in the sense of how you, the amount of time you put into it. I think back when I first started to play, it was a completely different atmosphere. I mean, the major labels still run the scene, and they still ran everything. You wanted to get signed. It was a big deal. And then when Truce was playing and fairly relevant, and Adam was part of that group as well with me, that still remained the case. And we got signed to a major label. That was what we wanted to do. We did it. It happened. Didn't work out like we thought we would, but that's only because everything was changing at that time. We literally were caught in that change. So once the consolidation started to happen and all these major labels started becoming one, then and they started realizing, wow, people are selling singles online digitally. And it's not about record sales anymore. It's not about that album. It's not about the jewel case CD, you know, selling 1, 2, 3 million copies. It's about who's doing well online, the content, the constant. Everybody wants something different now. Everybody's attention spans are shorter, and people want something different, cool now. Because tomorrow, something may come out that's way better than what you just did yesterday. And so, when you're battling something like that, it's really great because you have the ability to sit at home with great equipment and create content and create something that captures people's imaginations, and you can do it rapidly, and you can still do it at high quality if you have the right equipment with good content. Versus having to go spend money somewhere, some label's money, to create something that's great, that it captures attention. So that it takes longer to create that content of quality with the major label back in the 90s and the early 2000s, so all the way up to like maybe the mid to late 2000s, versus now it doesn't take as long because Macklemore can go out there and put together a home video with an iPhone for one of his songs, after having some really cool music videos that he literally created on a string, get distribution, do it all on his own, win Grammys. Chance the Rapper doesn't even release a record, and wins 3 Grammys. Like,
that's insane.
You know, if you think about where we came from, like the late 90s to Chance the Rapper, it's so drastically different. So what it tells you is that anybody can do whatever they want as long as there's something that people can grab onto. Is the content good enough? Is the content something people can relate to, can gravitate towards, and identify with? And as long as you can do that and present material that does that to you, then you can be relevant, and you can be relevant often. Before somebody else can tell you whether or not you can be relevant and be relevant often, someone's going to put money behind that and capital. You're looking for a bank to give you a loan, versus now, you don't need a loan anymore. You can do it all by yourself.
Yeah, shoot, if you got a microphone in the bathroom, you're a recording artist now.
You got a podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, totally. It's actually really cool, and you know, I feel like we've been talking about this for years as far as the whole you can do it yourself now, but you can. It's like up to you. Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to play coffee shops and do it, you know, just chill? Do you want to go big? You know, there's bands out there that have full-time career jobs and they tour 1 or 2 months a year, and they just put the career on hold, and they, like, people say, oh, you got to tour 367 days a year. Like, you have to tour all the time in a van. Like, no, you don't. You don't have to do that unless you want to, and that's okay. You know, and I feel like we've been approached by a lot of people asking, you know, hey, what is success to you, and how long are you going to play music, and how things have changed, and what's your goal, and things like that. Like, why don't you guys tour? It's like, well, we don't necessarily need to tour right now. You know, maybe the opportunity would come up and things will change. I'm like, oh, heck yeah, let's go down to LA and back. But, you know, right now, we just released an EP in May. We're working on our second. Like, there's so much, you know, possibilities of what could happen. It's almost like, let's just take one step at a time. And
there are worse places to be in than Seattle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Any night of the week in Seattle, you can go to a show.
Yeah.
And it's always really good bills. You can always at least catch a local band if you want to. Yeah. Sometimes a touring band. And
mm-hmm.
There are worse places to be.
Yeah. I mean, we love it here for sure.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
you got Vancouver, you got Seattle, Portland, L.A. I mean, you could throw New York in there. That's the only other, you know, London, New York. So you got 3 major hubs of amazing, Toronto, maybe. We talk about Canada because I'm very familiar with it. We're familiar with it. But you talk about some major cities with a lot of great local music where you have like emerging stars come from. I mean, you're talking, and a lot of folks go to LA to become stars. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, when it comes to being in a city that can help you become somebody and thrive and grow and be around a lot of talented artists and bands. Mm-hmm. There's nothing better than Seattle. I mean, it's been a great I mean, you're cutting your teeth with the best here.
Well, how do you guys end up standing out then? Because like you said earlier, anybody can record anything, and if you can just sort of get a gig in Seattle, how do you make yourself stand out besides just that social media content?
I mean, it all starts with the music, obviously.
Great content.
But, you know, I feel like a lot of musicians don't look past the music, because music is important. Like, that's, I mean, that's your product, let's say, if you're trying to think business about it. But what else are you doing? What are you, like you said, like, what's making you stand out? What's making you, you know, draw the attention? And
well, I remember there was that show at the Vera Project that you guys did where you even took out the stand-up bass instead of just doing regular electric bass. And that was pretty sick.
Yeah. Thanks. That's awesome. That's what I started playing, was the upright bass. But like that, for instance, you know, we looked at that like, okay, it's Aaron Gillespie is coming to town from Under Oath, right? And and who else was on the bill? There's a couple of his
Ace
buddies.
Ace Enders from early November.
November.
Some bands we used to like back in the
day. Movie Life.
Movie Life.
So we're looking at these like, oh my gosh, are you serious? We're being invited to play at that show? First of all, yeah, sign me up, right? Getting all jazzed about it. Oh, wait, it's an acoustic show. Okay, that's not what we're like. Like, we can do it. We did it, you know. But at first we're going, oh, acoustic. Okay, we're going to have to switch it up a bit, figure out how we want to do this. And what I love about the group of people I play with is that we're versatile in that way. We can switch from doing the whole electric thing with distorted amps and all that and all the funky sounds, and we can go, okay, we're going acoustic. And now we're showing people that we can do something besides just plug and play four chords, and we can do something different. And not even does it sound different and feel different, but it even looks different. It's like, I don't know. I think that's super cool. And when I see a band do that, like, when all you hear and see is one thing, and then all of a sudden they throw something totally different, woo! Like, it's super.
It's a unique moment. It's something you get to share with the crowd. And
yeah, and it was a very much more intimate crowd and kind of chill. And, you know, it's a totally different vibe. And, I mean,
Ace loved it. I think Ace Enders was like, he's infatuated with the fact that Adam was playing stand up. He's like, I can't believe you're doing that. I love this. I want more of this.
Yeah,
you do this all the time. Like, well,
he came. He came straight up to me and was just interacting with me instantly when I was just pulling the bass out of the case, and it was super cool. He was really nice, awesome, and you know, for me, I sometimes take that for granted that that's different and unique, and you know, a lot of people think that's cool. But being able to play with someone like Dennis, who can switch over from electric on the mic to an acoustic and like bring out that beauty in the song in a different way, I don't know. It's super cool. And to go from a, you know, someone at the show or that's following us with our album and our social media and can see something different, you know, I don't know. It's just, I think it's cool. I'm glad you brought that up. That's cool to hear.
Well, do you guys have any tricks up your sleeve for the next show at Crocodile?
Get your tickets soon, because I don't even know if there's any left.
Well, you guys sold out of your personal pre-sales, right?
Yeah, they're gone.
Those were long gone a while ago.
Yeah, we sold out of that like
a week ago.
Thank
you so much for everybody coming
out. Yeah, everybody who did to support us, thank you so much.
Yes.
We're very, very humbled by that.
I've seen bands who just, day of the show, oh yeah, we still got tickets, come buy our tickets. That's insane that you guys sold out that early ahead of the show, like well over a month before the show.
I think everybody that supports us, because that, I mean, you included, Corey, and KGRG, and everybody here.
Everybody.
And everyone that, like, I don't think any musician would say that it doesn't mean the world to share the experience of music with other people. So to have people that come out and share that with us, like, we don't go to a concert to play for ourselves. If we did do that, we would probably play every day of the week. You know,
right?
Because you could play every day of the week.
Oh yeah,
but to share that, oh, I don't know. We're just humbled by the whole thing, and it's amazing. Yeah. So thank you, everybody, and you guys too.
Yeah, thank you
so much.
Our pleasure. You guys are really awesome, and again, the music's behind it. Every time I listen, I feel a little bit something different every time. It's really nice to listen through the album, and depending on the day of the week or the day I'm having, it always hits me a different spot. So it's always nice to have those albums that I can go back to and listen through a different time. And I really appreciate you guys making the music, because we're a music radio station, and without bands, especially local bands, putting out new content, we would literally have nothing. So I wanted to say thank you. Thank you guys for coming in. The show is at Crocodile. That's going to be, that's about a week from now, right? It's on the
10th, 10th. March 10th.
March yeah. 10th, Friday, March 10th at the Crocodile.
Yeah, come on out. Check out Van Apps, Moneta, and Marsalis.
Yeah.
It's a super awesome show. I'm super excited.
Get ready for that new record, man.
Yeah, new record. And I would coming. Say anybody listening, never hesitate to reach out to us on the social media. Say hello, private message. Like, we're friendly. We're not too cool for school.
Well, where can people find you on social media? What all do you guys have, just so we can
everything
go through
everything almost. I think the only thing we don't have that's relevant is Snapchat. But MarsalisBand.com, Facebook.com/MarsalisBand, Instagram.com/MarsalisBand. We got the Twitter. We got the Spotify.
Yeah,
we got
MarsalisBand for Twitter. Yeah, we're everywhere. MarsalisBand.com, on it's like our website.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've tried the Snapchat. I personally can't do it either, so I can't blame you.
Yeah, you know,
too much is too much sometimes.
I think, we just haven't figured out how to use it yet. Yeah. It feels like a very much a personal thing, and it's kind of hard for us since we're multiple members how we do that.
Yeah.
We might have to screen things before people send them out.
Well, I think the only other thing I haven't tried so far is like the Google Circles or whatever it was a while ago.
Oh, yeah,
that did not work.
It's popular for a minute.
There was so much hype on that.
Yeah, that was a big
deal.
It was
like the next thing, and it went nowhere. I guess you never know.
Well, Adam, Dennis from Marsalis, thank you guys so much. We will be super excited to see you guys on March 10th at the Crocodile. Pre-sale tickets are already gone from you guys, so how else can people find tickets? Is it on the Crocodile website?
Yeah, Crocodile website. Message the bands. We might save some extra secret tickets for last minute.
Yeah, you
oh boy.
Know.
Yeah.
We stay might tuned do. To our sites, Facebook, sure. Twitter, yeah. Everywhere else, yeah. Instagram.
Hey guys, well, thank you so much. Have a good morning.
Thanks, Corey.
Yeah, take care, man.
Again, that was Dennis and Adam from Marsalis on 89.9 KGRG FM, KGRG FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Seminary Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. Again, you can catch them at the Crocodile March 10th. Make sure you grab your tickets. It's going to be a super intimate, super intense show. Get ready. Oh my gosh, I can't even wait. But you've been listening to The Buzz, and this is day one of Gustapalooza Week. That's right. Thanks again to Mike from The Monday Project. He's on every Monday night from 7 to 10 on 89.9 KGRG FM. You can catch his stuff on demand as well as our stuff. If you want to catch The Buzz on demand as well, that's The Buzz. You can visit KGRG.com. Under that show section, you can click either The Monday Project or you can click The Buzz. We have all of our on-demand stuff there. Same thing with the app. We're also on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. Anywhere that you can get podcasts, catch us there. As well as Marsalis, you can catch them on SoundCloud. You can catch them on Stitcher. You can catch them. They're on Google Play as well. Go support local bands. Go support local music. So tomorrow morning, we have a super exciting show. We have Wade from the Weird Elephant series over there at the Grand Cinema. He's going to be talking about, the Cornetto trilogy and what's going on there with Weird Elephant and what that's all about. So stay tuned. That's happening at 8:20 tomorrow. But until tomorrow morning, bright and early 6 a.m. on 89.9 KGRG FM. You've been listening to The Buzz. We'll leave you with Walking Dead by Truce.